This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Disneyland. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday, 3:06. Today is National Backyard Day.
Ooh.
So I was wondering what you guys think is the greatest backyard activity.
Ooh. Maybe a fire, a bonfire.
Good.
Fire's got to be up there, especially as an adult, because you know you don't do so much of the backyard balling or whatever. Man, I just liked when I was a kid. I just liked running around. I let my imagination go, pretend I was in Jurassic Park or whatever.
Are we talking now, or are we talking about when we were kids? Because I'm a lot of different answers.
Either way,
okay.
Either way, I was thinking more kids, but
okay. Yeah, when I was a kid, it was absolutely backyard any sport. We'd play backyard football. My buddy down a couple doors down, his dad would freeze the backyard to make it an ice rink in the winter, so we were playing hockey out there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the fact that it was cold enough, long enough for that to be a thing for months was pretty cool.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that was great.
I would, if I had to narrow it down to one, two, I would say daytime, wiffle ball, nighttime, kick the can.
Why do you play that at night?
We never played like tag games during the day.
No, you're right. That was always an evening activity. Like,
yeah.
Like TV tag? Did you ever do that one?
Kick the Can was a tag game?
Remind me?
TV tag, like the only way to unfreeze yourself is you had to say like the name of a TV show.
I don't remember
as
that
you're
one.
Being tagged. There's that.
I remember Statues, which was the dumbest game of all time.
Yeah, that
you
was
you remember
dumb.
That one?
Yeah.
So you'd spin someone around and throw them. They just go flying across the lawn, and then you would land. And
you gotta stay there.
You'd land like a statue, and of course you'd fake it. You know, like you're throwing a football, and people are like, "You're throwing a football." You're like, "I don't know how I ended up like that." Kick the can is a tag game.
Okay, and you would throw them, like shove or like pick up and
with
hurl.
Statues.
Yeah,
like spin around in a circle and then let them go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you ever do rocket rides?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, rocket rides are great. So the one person is kind of the launching pad. So you lay on your back on the ground and you put your feet up.
Oh yeah.
And another person sits on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just shoot them through the air.
That was
great.
Fun.
It felt like you were actually flying, but you probably like 1 foot off the ground,
right?
Because you're a kid. You're like, oh my god, I'm flying.
Yeah.
I used to love looking for four leaf clovers in the like fields of clover
before.
Weeds.
Yeah.
I would spend whole days and nights out there.
I would do that a lot too.
And I'd come back with like two or three a day. I was getting pretty good returns.
Man, if I found two the whole time, yeah, I'd be lucky.
We had those mutant plants in Alton, so.
How high would you guys jump off the swing when you do that?
As high as it would go.
As possible.
Like vertical, right?
Or yeah.
Like, you know, if you could get level with the crossbar,
there was always that
was the time to fly right there.
Always that urban legend, you know,
that about you could go all the way around?
Some kid that did it.
No way.
Were our bones just like made of rubber when we were kids? And that's why we were able to, to jump like,
fly off. Your ligaments bend really well.
Eight feet in the air from a swing and just land and be like, oof.
That's not to say that I didn't break a few bones here and there over time.
And
but,
now
yeah.
I bend over to pick up a slice of cheese and I sound like a porn.
Man, that was great stuff. The best things, too, are always like, you know the really big swing sets at, like, grade schools? You know, the ones that the bar is probably, what, I don't know, like 15 feet high or whatever. Or we always used to climb all the way and sit on the top because that's what made you cool. To go all the way up there and hang out. It was like, look at me.
I never did the cool stuff. I always watched the cool kids do the cool stuff. And I was off doing dork things.
That's always from, like, the first time you realize you can actually do that, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Brad Wells and I used to spend the night at his house, and he lived not too far from our grade school, and they had a pop-up camper. It's like just the best. And we would sleep out under the stars or sleep in the camper, and at like 3 in the morning, we went over to the school and got up on the roof. Brad was adventurous. I was not. He drugged me along. But just being up there, and there are kickballs and frisbees, and you felt like you were like breaking the law.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. Catherine sent us a message, said, loved this backyard sandbox when she was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I loved my sandbox when I was a kid.
I never had one.
We had one until my dad removed it to put a garage in our first house.
Mm.
But this is probably the most I think I ever scared my parents. I was like 3, and my mom woke up, and I wasn't in my room. And then she walks out, and I'm not in the TV room. I'm nowhere in the house, and she's freaking out. And then she realizes I'm out in the sandbox, and I'm out there playing with my little army men.
Yeah.
I used to love that sandbox. It was the best.
I had my first kiss in the sandbox.
Oh.
Yeah. Her name was Michelle.
Okay.
And I ran into her about 4 years ago. I was going to my mom's, and there was like a stand with like sweet corn and strawberries and stuff like that, and it was Michelle that was selling them.
Oh.
Yeah. I kissed her again.
Nice. In a sandbox?
That's right.
That would have been funny, wouldn't it?
Dave says, I always wanted a backyard with a miniature horse like Little Sebastian. I don't know Little Sebastian.
Oh, it's from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, okay.
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 Bye-bye, Little Sebastian.
Wouldn't mind a little horse. It's kind of like a big dog.
Yeah. I tried to buy one. I was too drunk. They wouldn't let me.
Although, like, I don't know. What's the best way to take care of a little horse? Like, do they need to be around other little
cowboys?
Horses?
Well, I'm sleeping in
little cowboys.
Little rodeo clowns.
Do they have to go inside? Like, they feel better if they're in the house with you?
Man, those sweet little backyard donkeys look awfully nice. Have you seen them, like, on TikTok?
I've seen, there's a few in, like, the Godfrey area. There's,
they seem, it could just be the TikTok famous donkeys, but they seem like dogs.
Yeah, they're awful cute.
Yeah.
Little family members.
They're happy to see you.
They haven't had to go to the mule death cliff or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Mule falls. We were talking earlier today. Wheels brought in some donuts. They brought in a cinnamon bun, cinnamon roll, and all of us had a cinnamon roll story. Like, for Andrew, that was like what you had for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't know that people had bacon and eggs.
Yeah, I thought breakfast food was like Pillsbury cinnamon rolls with icing and then like the Hostess Donettis. That's what I thought was breakfast.
Donettis?
It's donuts, but
I thought they, like, are they Italian?
We say it cute here, Kevin.
I'm sorry. I literally
we say cute
meant,
things.
Get it together.
I literally thought you meant a different kind of food.
Get it together, man. You're embarrassing
us. What are donettis? That sounds good.
My mom used to make them from scratch. Like, that was always a big treat.
Yeah.
She'd make cinnamon rolls from scratch.
Oh. Whoa, how do you even do that?
You got me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's like wizardry.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make
alchemy.
She'd make the icing.
Got to make dough.
From scratch.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So time
consuming. That was a really cool thing with my parents. Like, the trains ran on time at the Glover house. And we would have, my dad got up at 4:30. We'd have dinner at 5. We would have snack time at 8 every single night. And it was either popcorn or ice cream.
Nice.
Yeah. And they were pretty big on going out. We would go to IHOP a lot for, strangely, all-you-could-eat fish. Mm-hmm. And I would have salads with Italian dressing.
Oh.
And I would make the little syrups talk to each other, and it drove my dad crazy.
How did they sound?
Syrups like, hello there, maple.
Or hello there, raspberry.
I'm sugar-free.
My dad just like, just...
He's like, can you give it a rest?
Can you play in the street?
Can you just eat the pancakes?
But we would go to like Dairy Queen and McDonald's during the summer, And on the way back, this is such a magical memory for me. Because my mom and dad were not fun-loving with me. And so when they did stuff like this with me, I was like, oh my gosh. And so I would lay in the back seat, and I would just look up and try to tell where we were and give my dad driving directions.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. And it was always just so cool.
Just going by the sky or like by the trees? Or
trees, okay, and okay. Like a billboard here and there.
Gotcha.
And I would intentionally send him the wrong way, and it was fun.
That's nice that you guys did that.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. And I've said this many times before, but in the Glover family at McDonald's, which was just like going to, I don't know, it's like going to Ruth Chris or Capital. Like we would go like maybe once every 2 months. It wasn't like now where you can just like DoorDash it every night if you want to. But you could have a hamburger, French fries, and Coke, or two hamburgers and a Coke. But never two hamburgers, French fries, and a Coke. And don't even ask about a big sandwich. Like, you don't get Big Macs. You don't get quarter pounders. Mm. And one time when I was probably 13, I said, I'll have a hamburger, French fries, and Coke. And my dad turned around and looked at me and said, you sure you don't want a Big Mac?
That's nice.
And I was just like, you know what, sir? I think I will.
Yeah.
I think I'll have the Mac.
That's a big deal. It was for me anyway when you stop doing the Happy Meals and you start doing, like, the real adult meals.
Mm-hmm.
I remember making that transition and I was like, yep, I'm grown now.
Yeah.
I guess I better
get married.
Investing in my 401k.
First time I remember doing it, I went way too overboard and I got two ultimate cheeseburgers from Jack in the Box. And my dad was like, do not eat those. And I think he knew it was going to be a lesson, but he was still pretty mad about it. He was like, do not eat those. And I was like, I'm gonna. And then I ate them both and immediately threw
them. Oh, man.
That's the most Andrew thing I've ever heard.
This is way too much food. And he was like, I told you. And I was like, I thought I could do it. I thought I was a man.
Yeah, every Saturday it was also magical on the weekends. Every Saturday, because my mom was a mom, and she did all the cooking and all the baking and all the laundry and all the home stuff. And on Saturdays, my dad would get up and make bacon and eggs for breakfast. And then on Sunday, we would have pancakes or waffles. And I would eat so much. And then I would go lay on the couch with a bellyache moaning and watch like the Sunday morning cowboy show. Like they had a Western on. Like
always.
On Channel 11, Channel 30.
Mm.
That was great.
So Brian on the stream says, my dad used to put us in the trunk of the car and we had to guess where we were going to get out. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
That explains away so much.
Yeah, rules were way different back in the day.
That's so great.
I mean, I know it's the cliche that you see it in all the old-timey movies, but we did that in high school to go to the drive-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like two people in the trunk.
Same. Yeah. I was always terrified of getting caught.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, caught or stuck?
More caught than
okay,
stuck.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah. Aw. Emily says, my son is 11 and the other day just asked for the meal instead of a Happy Meal. This is how it starts.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Next thing you know, you're paying for KU.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next thing you know, he'll be talking about law school.
Yeah.
Like, law school.
Yep. That's no joke.
Yeah. I was thinking about if I could freeze time or go back to a time and freeze it because my kids are 10 years apart. I think it would be when Phoebe was 5 and Nick was 15.
Okay.
Like, he's still a kid. She's definitely a kid. And just, I don't know. There's just something about that.
It's a good window.
Yeah.
Because 5 is a pretty fun age.
Yeah.
You're past the terribleness of 2s and 3s where they don't have the words to explain things. And then 15 is, it can be something. But it seems to me Nick would have been like a good 15.
He was.
He was a good 15.
He was a good everything.
Yeah.
Nick has always just been like a little proper gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good spot if the kid is not a little jerk.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah. Sometimes you can't help it. When you're 15, sometimes you're a jerk.
Yeah, Phoebe used to always yell at Marina and I because she was an only child. And I'd be like, he's right there.
He's an adult, though.
Like, ouch.
He's the guy next to you.
Yeah.
The one that looks just like you.
Well, I mean, we teased my little sister that she was raised like an only child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
She was born when I was 18 and my brother was 16. So by the time she was old enough to understand anything.
Same for me.
She was the only child in the house.
Yeah, my brother and sister were gone by the time I think I was 4.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So same thing.
Yeah.
It does feel like you're an only child when you're the only one there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good ways, bad ways.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. There's both. Because you get a little bored. You don't have somebody to play with.
I thought it was pretty good because I was pretty good. I hate being alone now, but when I was a kid, man, I just had universes in my bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
I was fine.
Yeah.
And then I spent all day, every day with my pals. It was so, like, little rascally, you know?
No, I'm with you. There was, in fact, when I was a kid, like, I don't remember what age, probably, like, probably in that 8, 9, 10 range, because my brother was then in the annoying 5, 6, 7 range.
Yeah.
I just hated it. I'm like, God, can you just send him away? Because everybody's like, oh, you got somebody to play with. Like, I don't want him around. And then when you got older, it was better.
Yeah.
You know, when he was older, and it was a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have it, but then when the kids do have it, I'm sure you guys had the same thing, right? You guys probably had times you're like, could I just please be an only child for a while?
I also remember we played so much baseball. There was a lot between our house and our next door neighbor's house, and that's where we all played baseball, which was really cool because it was right at my house. And every now and then during the summer, the dads, who were invariably drunk, except for my dad, who didn't drink at all, would get out there and try to play, and they were terrible. Terrible. Like, that generation somehow didn't grow up learning to play baseball, you know, at least in South Roxana. I guess they're all just working guys and refinery guys, and they couldn't throw a ball, and they couldn't hit it, and we'd just be like, God, the hell's wrong with you? Which was weird, judging your parents, because you're not, you know, your parents are your parents. They can do anything. And then you see your dad swing a baseball bat, and you're like, holy hell. Guy's like, an easy
what
out.
What were you doing when you were a teenager?
Yeah. Well, oh, that's right. Fighting World War II.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're in the Philippines. Welcome back, DG. Ask short little segment here because I went too long. Bad clock management. So I'm just having fun. I'm not great at the X's and O's. So? I'm just talking about wiffle ball.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
So people like
all
wiffle
I do.
Ball?
A single parking spot in Boston just hit the market for how much money?
A what?
Parking spot.
Never been to Boston. I'm going to assume it's pricey, though.
Are we doing
the story?
A month?
You just buy it and you own it.
Oh, forever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's going to be a big number.
Yeah.
50,000.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'll say $100,000.
$750,000.
Just stop it.
Yep.
Where?
Get a private jet.
The upscale Beacon Hill area. Carscoops.com says the same spot sold in 2023 for $500,000.
If you could spend that on a parking spot, why are you living where you need a parking spot?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You should have a helipad.
It says $750,000 is for the parking spot, but it's actually more than that. The garage also charges $400 a month in fees, and the property taxes are $291 a month.
Why would you live there?
Right.
Build a bigger house in the country and have your own giant place to park.
That is insane.
I feel so stupid. I don't know the first. I couldn't tell you one fact about Boston, and I was like, well, where in Boston is the?
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that.
Give me all the details.
Perhaps it's worth it if it's in the correct neighborhood.
Andrew's like, if it's in Southie, it's probably $20.
Google was originally called, anyone know?
Oh, it was like airplane or something stupid.
Back
right?
rub.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
What?
Back rub.
Wow.
So we could all be saying like, just back rub it.
Just back rub it.
That sounds awful.
Just mm-hmm. rub it.
The moment I've seen this, not in person, obviously, but the moment when a sperm fertilizes an egg, there's an actual spark and explosion. You ever seen that video?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
It's you look it up. It's really weird.
Probably wait till I'm not on the work computer.
Yeah,
you never
you've
know.
Googled
what
you've back
you're
rubbed
get.
More stuff than
yeah.
that.
If I die a thousand times, my soul watch beside me. I will never be alone. You'll always
be. Welcome back, guys. DGS 335. Before going to Dave Murray, let me tell you about the first pitch breakfast. For Camel Wax, it's on opening day. Wheels and I are going to be broadcasting from Cardinals Nation for Kegs and Eggs. But before that, at 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., the food ends at 10 at Cardinals Nation. You're going to have Tom Ackerman hosting Vince Coleman, and it's off the air, so it is, you know, like rated R. Like, I don't know how salty Vince is, Wheels. Meals. Maybe you can help me out with that. But it's going to be no holds barred. It's a big breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys, ice cold AB products, and a commemorative 104.1 FM KMOX glass stein, which are only available at that event. I got to get one of those.
Yeah, those look cool.
Yeah, I got to steal somebody's. You also, courtesy of the Cardinals, get two tickets to the game on Saturday, March 29th at 1:15 against Minnesota. So not that many tickets left. If you want to do something really, really cool that day, especially if you're not going to the game and you don't want to be there all day,
just
go to KMOX.com and get those tickets. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So how windy are we so far?
We're windy. We've had some gusts close to 50. I think we're 48 right now is our peak gust in the last hour. That's 50 in my book. There's also, we had a couple of showers, a couple of thunder showers around. They've kicked through. There's actually a tornado watch out to our east in portions of Illinois. It's basically east of Carlinville, Litchfield, and let's take it down to Highland. But the storms themselves are running from about Springfield down to Greenville, down through about Centralia and Mount Vernon, and they're moving away. And they're moving away very, very quickly. But the cold front's coming through. Winds are out of the southwest right now. It will shift to the northwest later on tonight. And we're going to see showers around, temperatures dropping through the 60s this evening. And then some wet snow gets mixed in after midnight. Could be a dusting on the grassy surfaces. What a ride, huh?
No, it was 83 yesterday. Snow tonight.
Yeah. Even for St. Louis, it's been kind of crazy. Tomorrow, first day of spring. Spring officially begins at 4:01. Sunny skies after an early morning cloudy start, but it's windy and it's cooler. 51 for the high. It's not going to feel that warm. It's going to feel like in the 40s much of the day. Then 37 Thursday night. Friday's quiet, partly sunny, light winds, 64. Kind of a 50-50 weekend. Saturday, sunny and 59. Sunday, clouds, periods of rain, really in the morning up until about noontime or so, and 62 on Sunday.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the kind of question you usually got at junior high schools, okay?
Okay.
So I understand the basics of the wind, that it's changing pressures, but when it's windy like this and you feel it hitting you and it blows your hair back or, you know, whatever.
No, it doesn't.
Not me. I knew you wouldn't let that one go. What are you feeling? What is it? Like, what's hitting you in the face?
Oh, it's this big thing in the sky. Well, that blows the air.
He's not going to give me an answer.
It's a fan.
Molecules
are hitting you.
It's what's hitting you is what causes the wind is a tightening of the isobars. That's equal lines of pressure between low pressure and high pressure. So as the isobars squeeze together, it gets windier and windier. And that's what creates the wind. What are we feeling? I'll go with, I don't know. We're feeling wind.
Okay.
Molecules.
Okay.
I'm sticking with
I'll buy that.
There's a bunch of molecules.
I mean, literally everything around us is molecules, so it must be molecules, right?
It's got to be doing something.
Yeah,
that's a great question. I'll have to look into that. I don't remember that.
I got in the Jeep today, and of course, like, you know, it's windy. It's hit me in the face, and I like the way the wind feels. I've always liked the wind, and I'm just like, what is this? Like, I get, like, okay, pressures are changing, and it's forcing something to move faster, but what is that something? So, there you go. All right, fine. Headlines?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Have you guys heard about this Minnesota Republican state senator, Justin Eichhorn? He was detained by law enforcement after attempting to meet up with someone he believed to be a 16-year-old girl. Turns out she was a detective. His colleagues have expressed shock and demanded his immediate resignation, calling the alleged conduct unacceptable.
And he was like Charlie Church.
Yeah, he's married with four children.
Yeah.
Facing serious charges and is being urged by his coworkers to focus on his family at this time.
Yeah.
I mean, yikes.
I have a buddy of mine who I played in a band with who was still is a county cop, and he was on that detail for years where he and his colleagues would pretend to be underage girls mostly. Mm-hmm. And he said, he's like, you just wouldn't believe it. He's like, he said, first of all, it's so prevalent. It's not like you have to go looking for these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll find you.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Can I do a quick shout out?
Yeah, man.
Wheels, you're absolutely right.
What?
It's the
movement of air molecules.
Well, I am a trained weather spotter.
That's true.
That's right. There you go.
You went outside. I mean, said, I was there
like,
it is.
I mean, like, you know, literally everything is made of molecules, so it has to be like, even if it's, if Dave smacks me in the face, it's molecules hitting me in the face.
Yeah, James.
Right. Those
Crockett,
molecules create little pressure on your skin, and that's what you feel.
James Crockett says air is hydrogen, oxygen, and other gases and dirt molecules. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you get hit with dirt.
We're figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
This is an educational program.
Pretty much that's all it is.
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah.
Moving on with headlines, Social Security is now requiring in-office visits for millions of recipients and applicants. They're no longer allowing individuals to verify their identity over the phone, requiring online authentication or in-person visits for benefit claims and direct deposit changes.
That is a horrible, horrible experience.
Dave, I can't even imagine.
What do you do?
You sit and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. It's like a lottery system.
This is going to impact over 72 million Americans who rely on Social Security. DOGE plans to close at least 47 Social Security field offices in rural communities, making them travel for to access services.
Yeah.
So that's a real bummer.
Even harder.
So I don't know much about it because obviously I'm not there yet. But I would, I mean, the vast majority of people that are getting Social Security are retired or over the age of 65, at least, right?
62.
Yeah. If you take it.
That seems like a pretty significant voting block to make angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm. They also have all the money.
Oh. Not anymore if they can't get it.
Yeah.
Jeez. Talk about, the last thing you need, you've earned all this, right? You put all your money in that into Social Security through all of your payroll checks throughout your entire life. And now all of a sudden it's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make your life even harder. We're going to make it even tougher for you to get your money, your money back that you put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Great idea.
A sunset on the moon is seen in spectacular images taken by the Blue Ghost Lander. NASA has released the first ever high-def photographs of a sunset on the moon. The images show a ghostly glow above the cratered lunar horizon as the sun goes down. So they also captured a lunar sunrise, a solar eclipse by Earth, and collected extensive data on space weather and cosmic forces during its 14-day mission. Pretty cool.
Can I say something about weather. Conspiracies apropos of the moon?
Yeah.
So I am 100% sure that the Earth is round and that we went to the moon, but for some reason TikTok has been showing me a bunch of we didn't go to the moon videos.
Yeah, yeah.
The good ones really screw you up.
Yeah.
Like, people who are conspiratorians are really good at it.
Yeah. What I think is interesting, and this phrase applies because when you don't know things, everything seems like a conspiracy, right? Yeah. So I saw not long ago two or three of guys that are really super successful special effects artists for movies in Hollywood, like big movies. And they went through all of the moon, the moon landing video because they're trying to show whether it's fake or not. And they were like, yeah, at that time especially, you couldn't have faked that.
Yeah.
You just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way for practical effects or whatever in the time that it was done for that to have been able to be done. And they go through the whole video, all the things that everybody thinks, oh, the flag is this. And it, like, when you hear people that know things talk about it, it really is simple. Unfortunately, most people talking don't know things. By the way, the moon's hollow, just in case you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Saw a video yesterday.
It rings.
That's where the Galactic Federation meets.
It rings like a bell.
Inside there.
Yeah, we shot something into it one time and listened, and it rang like a bell for like hours.
Yeah. This lady I saw said that there's a big conference center in there.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Like
Howard Johnson's.
Remember in the Star Wars movies where you have like the whole big thing where they're all sitting around in the Senate? He said that's what it looks like, and all the Galactic Federation people meet there.
Cool.
Yeah, inside the moon.
Speaking of space, great news. Astronauts Butch and Sonny are finally back on Earth. We tried to watch them splash down yesterday,
but they just
didn't want to squeeze it in before the show was over.
Yeah.
Now back on Earth, they will undergo medical checks and readaption exercises to help their bodies readjust to gravity.
Man.
Glad they're back.
You know, like,
yeah, me too.
Think about it, Rach. Think about how bad jet lag is coming back from Japan.
I know. And then it's like, I was in space for 8 months.
There for 9 months. Like, your body's taller. Your muscles are weaker.
What time zone is the moon in? That's the stupidest thing I've ever said.
Eastern.
Okay. Is it Eastern?
It's in moon time.
I think it's its own thing.
But, does time matter?
Yeah.
in space?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you have watches and clocks and computers.
Yeah, the ISS has got to be in a time zone.
Well, the ISS, I guess, would change time zones because
right,
it travels.
Yeah, it goes through, yeah.
It's in orbit, yeah.
So what, like, standard do they use for time?
I would guess Greenwich Mean Time for them.
Ah, there you go.
Right?
Man, Wheels knows everything.
You're on fire today.
I know. Isn't it great?
Coles is going to
Well, he is just guessing.
No, I know. I'm
He's guessing, right?
I'm going to Google it now.
He just said that. We all went, whoa, smart Wheels.
Well, Dave Murray backed him up. I'm like, there's no way this isn't true.
He just threw it out.
All right, Coles is stopping Amazon returns at some stores as a test. I don't know if you guys do this, but you could return Amazon items to Coles stores. This is to evaluate customer preferences and expectations. And some Kohl's employees say this is great because it took a lot of time and effort to process Amazon returns. So
man,
just otherwise, you might want to check before you go into your local Kohl's to make an Amazon return.
That was a sweet deal, though. Taking it in because you didn't even have to wrap it or package it or anything. You just bring in the thing, whole cloth, toss it at them, go, here, I'm getting rid of this. And they go, okie doke.
Guys, guess what?
Man, it was sweet.
Right.
You're right?
Yeah, it's Greenwich Mean Time.
Nice.
Yes.
Lucky guess.
You should just get up and leave right now.
I'm going to walk out.
It's not going to get any better.
Let me drop the mic.
Yes.
The one time we needed to drop.
I know, it won't drop.
One more story here. In a swipe at Southwest Airlines, Frontier is offering free checked bags for a limited time. To take advantage of this offer, you must book a nonstop flight between now and August 18th and use promo code FREEBAG.
But you got to fly Frontier.
Yeah, that is the other downside.
You can also use probablygonnacrash.org.
It's like I always picture those as like you know the old Viking ships where you just got to sit there and pull to make it move.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Little break here. I was very humbled today I was driving in, heading to do that podcast with the guys, and there is this car. I get, like, when people don't know how to do four-way stops or if they won't turn right on red, it just drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a road rager, but I'm a road pissier. And so this guy in front of me had a green arrow, and he just sat there. So he finally turns, and he turns into the left lane. Oh, God. So I get in the right lane, because I have to get a look at this idiot.
Yep.
That's big with me. I have to see
him. Gotta see him, yep. Yeah.
And I look over, and it's this old man with these big, giant glasses, and, like, his mouth's open. Mm. You can just tell, like, and I felt so terrible, because this poor guy is probably terrified. You know, maybe he drives every day. Maybe he hasn't driven in a year. Who knows if he has Alzheimer's or if he's just old, but he clearly was uncomfortable. And I just, you know, you have those moments where you're like, you're a D, but, you know.
To me, you're only a jerk if you did something to that person. Because you had a natural thought. I mean, like,
I know,
it's not
just
an unnatural thing to be
so,
like,
judgy.
Oh, well.
And just, like, you know, they're like, my mom didn't drive for 10 years before she passed away, but she was like 87 when she was driving. You know, couldn't even see over the damn steering wheel.
Right. And if you had, like, flipped him off, okay.
Yeah.
But if you didn't do anything to harass the guy, there's nothing to feel bad about. You just were irritated and you're like, oh, well, my bad. I was wrong.
Yeah. I still did. Hope he made it where he was going.
Yeah, no kidding.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camo X 405. Weird week because we no longer have 98.7 FM. That is now Hot 98, hip-hop. 104.1 is also playing hip-hop because that's what it was. That's going to change Monday at midnight when they flip the switch and we go to 104.1 FM. Until then, we just all have to make do. You can listen on the Odyssey app and it sounds great. You can listen to 102.5 KZK HD and it sounds great. But we also have some lineup changes coming up. Amy and Chris rolled those out earlier today. Here's what I know. You guys correct me where I go askew. So Total Information AM with Debbie and Tom and Megan is going to be on until 9 a.m.
Yep.
At 9 a.m., Amy and Chris take over. They'll go 9 to noon. At noon, we have the Gas House Gang, which will be hosted every day by Chris Ranji. And then mixed in there is going to be Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, Klaibs,
yep.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
You and Pauly.
Occasionally.
Sparingly.
Yeah, it'll just depend on the day and the scheduling. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then DGS goes from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Yep.
And nothing changes with the DGS except that we are sprucing it up. It's going to be more active. It's going to be more guests. It's going to be more benchmarks. Little less Lazy River, but still, it's my show, so it's going to be Lazy River. And then tell us about 5 p.m.
So 5 o'clock hour, Redbird Rush Hour, which is going to be kind of our lead-in to Cardinals pregame on most days. Or it'll be the lead-in to Sports Open Line. Or maybe, you know, on the afternoon games, it'll follow the Cardinals game. So it'll be like an extension of the post-game show. So I'll be on that every day, but so will Matt Pauly. Matt will be there depending upon, you know, he'll be there, but it'll be his timing and all that'll depend on what's going on. So most days he'll be joining me from the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Cardinals are on the road, we'll both be here in studio doing it. But Bernie's going to be on that show with us in the five o'clock hour doing that. We're going to have some other people too. We're not exactly sure how all the rest of it is going to play out. But Matt and I every day leading into Sports Open Line and Bernie joining us at least a couple times a week. But we'll mix in some of the other guys too. Just depends on, you know, what the week looks like and, you know, where it goes.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically it's going to be extended baseball coverage in the 5 o'clock hour.
Then starting next week, we get to have Ricky Horton back on twice a week. So that's cool. I can finally relax.
Starts on Tuesday.
You got to get that
things
settled.
Things are fine. Everything's fine. Yeah. He's not mad at you. You didn't break up. It's all good. He loves you. You love him. You're a great couple.
Yeah.
Let's talk some Cardinals now. Can you share the tweet about Victor Scott? I thought that was great.
Which one?
The one where the guy said, if I was Victor Scott.
Okay, yeah. So, look, there's a lot of buzz about Victor Scott in spring training, and it's good buzz because he's been great. He's done everything that you could ask a young player to do when they had things to get better at, right? He hit another home run today. It's his third home run of the spring. He's been hitting the ball hard regularly. He's improved his routes defensively. He's obviously stealing bases when he gets the opportunity to do it. That's never really been a question. So he's a big topic because the people that are down there, people like Derek Gould and Katie Wu and Tom Ackerman, they're getting the vibe that he may still not make the team. And that the idea is not that Siani's going to be the center fielder. He seems to have lost that. Siani has, because he hasn't hit at all, and he didn't hit last year, so really it's just an extension of last year. But the idea would be they want to play for some more offense, because the team finished in the bottom 10 in offense last year. So the way to get more offense is Newt Barr in center, Donovan in left, Gorman at second, and then Burleson gets to DH. So if Scott's there under the current setup, that means you're basically putting Burleson on the bench instead of starting him, and that's a bat that they want in there. I don't know that it would be my choice. I think my choice would be Victor Scott in center field, and then Burleson is basically a somewhat regular bench guy where he plays a good bit. Like, he'll play when Contreras needs a day off, when Gorman gets a day off, when Donovan gets a day off, because everybody's going to get days off pretty regularly. So that's my play would be that. But it isn't crazy to do it the way that this is being discussed. The only thing that's crazy is if Siani's going to play in center field every day or a lot.
Burley is one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
As a player and as a guy. I don't want to see him go, but would he be marketable if we dealt him now?
100%. He would have a lot of value. Now, they're not going to do that.
Right.
They like Burleson a lot. I mean, they think highly of him, and they think he's got a chance to be better than he's been. I'm not sure he's going to be much better than he's been, but he is a good hitter anyway, right? Yeah. I mean, like, he's a good quality hitter, but he would have a lot of value because he's cheap. He's under team control for another 4 or 5 years. And he plays first base and outfield. So another team could look at that and say, man, we need a left-handed bat. That guy could start for us right now, and he can either play left or right or first or DH, and you could probably get something decent for him. And this is kind of funny because we've been texting about this, Bernie and Matt Pauly and Tom and I. We've been all texting about this afternoon. It's like the Cardinals seem to always be in this position where it's just really hard to just put your best lineup out there because there's always extra.
True.
There's always a guy that you don't want to bury or a guy that you don't want to send down. And you might have to trade away somebody to clear that up or just wait for an injury, right? I mean, like, if Lars Nootbaar gets hurt in April, well, there you go. Victor Scott's in center. Everything else falls into place. That's what the team wants. The team wants to keep it so that if there's an injury, they have depth. They have people to cover
Fair
it
enough.
And that they're happy about. So if you trade Burleson, you have one less certainty if someone else goes down. And you could say that could be Matt Kupierniak, who
I love.
Yes, he's had a good spring. He was really good at Memphis last year. He was really good in Springfield the year before that. He's a really good player, but he's untested at the major league level.
I haven't heard my boy Sejacy's name in a while.
No, he got sent down, but it wasn't. It's just simply that, think about this. There's already too many people, and the Cardinals are usually very clear, which is, by the way, why the discussion about Scott is not part-time player in the big leagues or not. It's he's either playing every day in the big leagues or he's playing every day in the minors. They do not want him in a part-time role.
People are going to kind of go crazy if they send them down, though, right?
I think so. I think people are going to have a valid point. And Bernie brings this up a lot, and he's right. When you position something as a competition and then one person outperforms the others and then they don't get the job, it's a weird look. What they're talking about is totally sensible, what the way I laid it out, make sure you want Burleson and Gorman and all these guys in there. But obviously, you know, people right now are sour on Gorman because of the way last year ended. But people have to remember that, A, he's barely older than Victor Scott. He's only like 8 months older than Victor Scott. And he's already been in the big leagues for over 300 games. He's already had a 27 home run season. And as for his career, he's been above average player. He had about 30 games last year where he sucked. Like, that's what it is. He was terrible, which is why he had to go down. But it's not all of a player. And then the part that gets lost, and this is where I cannot emphasize this enough. I love Victor Scott. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he's your long-term leadoff hitter. I think he's your long-term center fielder. But do you remember how outmatched he was 1 year ago in the major leagues? Because as bad as you think Gorman was, Scott was way worse. He was striking out almost 30% of the time and he had a 179 with no power. And then he went to Memphis and he hit 210. three or four good weeks in spring training, sometimes facing minor league pitchers, doesn't prove that you're over that, right? It's just at this point, it's all Victor Scott can do, right? All he can do is what's in front of him, and he's doing it. He's producing. He's made changes. He's hitting the ball hard. None of that is invalid, but he still has way more negativity to overcome than Nolan Gorman does, because Nolan Gorman has a lot of success already in the major leagues too. And I'm always fascinated by how fast we forget those things. Like, we're always fascinated by the shiny new toy and the exciting guy that's not what we saw fail last year. But you did watch Scott fail last year. You watched him hit .179 for 2 months or a month and a half, whatever it was. And then he went to Memphis and he struggled there. But he did look good at the end of last season. Like, in September, yeah, Scott came back up and he looked okay. But the problem that with communicating these things to fans is probably partly the bad messaging from the team. Don't position something as a competition if it's not.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's more to these things than just this guy played better in spring training. Like, there's all of this other history that goes into it.
You know what else we forget? What a magician Arenado is at third base.
Dude, you know, for as much as his bat's been a problem and we're talking about that and they need him to hit better, every day, man. He made a play today, charging the ball bare hand.
Brooks Robinson.
I mean, yeah, there, it's what you're seeing there is something that only a very small few fan bases have seen. People in Baltimore saw Brooks Robinson do that. People in Philadelphia saw Mike Schmidt do that. People here, we got to see Scott Rolen do that.
Yeah.
But I think Arenado is probably a little better than Rolen. Not much. They're at the same peak. Like, you know, they're amongst the best of the best. But there's only like five guys in the game that play third base the way he does in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Forget now. There's only one other guy in the league now that's even comparable to him, and that's Chapman, who plays for San Francisco. Matt Chapman's pretty good.
And we're talking about a six-man rotation possibly?
Well, I mean, it's at least being kicked around. We haven't had any follow-up on it since Ollie brought it up the other day, because some of it probably has to do with their bullpen decisions too, right? If they decide to go six-man rotation, that means one of the relievers that is in competition is going back down to Memphis, which isn't a problem, but they just have to make that decision. But there's some buzz about it with going with the five that we know, right? I mean, we know that Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty and Andre Pallante and Michaelis and Matz, we know that those are the five. And by the way, based on spring, you know, all these people that want to love on Victor Scott for the spring, none of them want to show that love to Miles Michaelis or Steven Matz, who have been good this spring. Now, you know how I feel.
I do.
Spring numbers don't mean anything. Yeah. Like, they only tell us part of the story. So I'm not going to celebrate because Miles Michaelis looks good in the spring. He looked good in the spring last year, then he stunk in the regular season. But those guys haven't done anything to lose their position. And McGreevy's been great. So he's done enough to make the case to be here. So in a way of doing this, kicking around a six-man rotation makes sense in that you can rest Sonny more. Because, look, Sonny's mid-30s now. Do you want him to have bullets left for the postseason if you happen to be good enough to do that? Because if he's burning out in September, not a great thing. You know, Fetty hasn't really been a major league starter for very long. You know, last year was his first year back from overseas. You know, Michaelis is 36, 37. Matz is always hurt. There may be a way to get the most out of all of those guys by building in a little bit more rest. I would advise not doing it early, though. If they were listening to me, I would be telling them, don't go to the six man until you're maybe into May, because they have so many off days the first couple of weeks. It's just going to jack everything up.
So the way I like Burleson, the flip side of that coin is how I dislike Flaherty. I just don't like his handsome face.
Who?
Flaherty. Do you think we made a mistake in hindsight dealing him?
Oh, and Jack Flaherty?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. At the time, it made sense to move on, and he stunk in Baltimore the rest of that year. But then at the time, you had to do it. You knew he was getting more expensive in arbitration. You knew he was coming up on free agency. And look, he's not been getting the... He had a big year last year, largely with Detroit, but then he won the World Series with the Dodgers, and he's back in Detroit now, but he only got like a two-year deal. You know, I think it's 1 year with an option. So it's not like he landed some big deal, because teams do have questions about him. What I would have liked to have seen is them maybe figure some of that stuff out with him that got figured out in Detroit, because they'd figured, and maybe it's just health, because he had a lot of shoulder problems when he was here, so maybe it's just that, but boy, he looks like a different guy when he's pitched for the Tigers. His velo yeah. ticked up 3 miles an hour, you know, he's striking way more people out, his slider is sharper, and again, that could just be the product of health, because when he was healthy here In 2019, he was a Cy Young candidate. Yeah. So.
424 DGS on KMOX. Got a quick razor's edge in you?
I do. I wanted to talk to you guys. I know we just talked about sports, but here's some more sports for you. The new Tennis Players Association, the Professional Tennis Players Association, just formed. It's led by Novak Djokovic, and they are basically taking legal action against the Association of Tennis Professionals, the Women's Tennis Association, the International Tennis Association, and the International Tennis Integrity Agency, and say they're operating as a cartel. And this is because, you know, they feel like players don't get enough prize money. They say the ranking system is messed up. The schedule is crazy. I mean, a lot of these people tour for 11 months out of the year.
So they don't have a union now?
It doesn't seem like they have a union. Apparently, if you are suspected of like doping or something in tennis, they will take you and interrogate you without any representation. So this is a huge problem, too. But the thing I thought was most interesting was the fact that in most other sports, your players get about 50% of the revenue, like 35 to 50% of the total revenue. Tennis players are only paid 17% of revenues. So there's all this money on the table that tennis is just like not sharing with their players. Some other things that are crazy is that if you're a tennis player and you don't win, you don't get paid.
Wow.
Which it's like, I saw a video of a girl talking about this the other day, and she was like, imagine if the Knicks like lost and they just didn't get paid that week. Like, it's not apples to apples, but it is just kind of crazy. They say this isn't just about money. It's about fairness, safety, and basic human dignity. Even fortunate players, like well-known players, say, you know, I've had to sleep in my car. I've had to travel without my coach because I can't afford to bring my coach with me. So it just feels like a big old mess.
I didn't know any of that.
Just comparing that to other sports, it is really,
I would have assumed, since it's kind of a country club sport, I would have assumed that they would have been one of the first to unionize and have good deals.
You would think.
And I think at first, maybe it was kept this way where it's like, yeah, the people with money are going to be the people who succeed. And it still is the case now where it's like, well, a player I really, really like is Emma Navarro. Like, she is great. But at first, I didn't like her because her dad's a billionaire. And I'm like,
I remember that.
She sucks. But I mean, she's such a good player. She's completely transcended that for me. But the fact of the matter is, she's able to devote her entire life to this one thing because she has all that money behind her. There are so many talented players that just don't have the resources to do what she's able to do. So it's just kind of crazy. I mean, 17% versus like 35 to 50% for the NFL, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, and it's weird because you don't get big crowds for tennis. You're not packing 40,000 people in.
No, not like that.
So I wonder where the money comes from.
Oh, it's TV. And it's worldwide. Keep that in mind, right?
Yeah.
Like all of the tour events, especially the majors, those are worldwide events. Those are not being watched. I mean, it's like soccer in that way. Like, it's a sport followed by literally every continent.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting TV rights from all of those places.
Yeah. 437 DGS. The wind should be kind of peaking out there right about now, and then get a little less overnight. I'm honestly, like, 83 was cute yesterday, and I know spring comes tonight at 4:01 a.m. But I'm not ready for the cold weather to go away.
I am.
Not me. I like it.
Just don't come back next Thursday.
Yeah.
We don't need a cold opening. Now, it's less of a big deal for kegs and eggs if you're coming out because we're indoors, so we don't have to worry about that. But nobody wants cold opening day.
No.
Phone says 65.
On Thursday?
Next Thursday.
Let's go phone.
Perfect. Are you guys familiar with the kerfuffle about sleepovers these days?
No.
I've heard that a lot of people don't want their kids to sleep over at anyone else's house because they don't trust the other parents.
Yes.
What the hell?
When Phoebe was little, she had one friend whose dad was a good friend of mine, kind of an out there guy, very extreme. Extremely religious, extremely conservative, but extreme. And he was like, yep, she'll never spend the night at your house. I love you. I don't trust you. I don't trust anyone. She'll never, ever be without us. Okay, so it kind of hurt my feelings, but all right. So Phoebe had lots of sleepovers. She went to lots of sleepovers. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it was incident-free and had a great time. I used to do sleepovers with my pals. Some of my very best memories, just talking about when Brad and I used to run the streets at 3 in the morning.
Yep.
But yeah, these days, it's sort of like how Wheels and I got to run all day with our parents having no idea where we were.
Yep.
Our kids did not, because we now knew that there were people out there grabbing kids. And people are just terrified that men can't be trusted, that you never know when someone's brother-in-law or cousin Stinky is going to show up and do something untoward to one of the girls. And even beyond that, I was watching a special about this last night, a special feature anyway, that they're worried about the girls bullying each other. And so, as we all know from sleepovers, the very nature of it is, okay, you girls go to bed. We'll see you in the morning for donuts. That they just don't like the fact that it's so unsupervised.
So based on the logic that people are applying here, because this is entirely parents blowing something out of proportion, it is what it is. Because my kid's not that old, and it wasn't that long ago. It was like, as long as you knew the parents and that a parent was going to be home, it was fine. Right? If you were going to be like, I'm going to stay at somebody's house and we've never heard of this person before, all right, we got questions. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's figure this out, because we're not going to just say, okay, I said something like that. But like the logic that, well, you never know, something could happen. Well, then you should never leave your house, because you could get T-boned in the intersection. All kinds of terrible things can happen to you by leaving the house. Glad so just don't T-boned. Leave the house. Right?
Mm.
I mean, like, what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching your kids that the entire world is out to get them. So what do you think they're going to be like when they get to be adults?
Mm.
Or when they have to start facing the world and they're like, oh, my God, I'm afraid of everything. Like, how was it okay in our lifetimes to be like, Dave, we were free-range kids.
100%.
Just ran around all day. Mom, I'll be home for dinner. All right. Be safe. Call me if you need anything, and you'll have to go find a phone somewhere to do it. How do we go from that? And we all were, I mean, like, again, I know terrible things happen, but terrible things aren't happening at a greater frequency now than they did 30 years ago. They're just not.
That's what the statistics bear out, that it's not.
It feels like it, because every time something terrible happens, it's all over TV and it's all over your phone, so you're seeing it, you're being punched in the face with it, but that doesn't mean you can't process the data, the actual number of incidences. And by the way, as we all know, the vast majority of those things we're all worried about happen with people you know within your family.
Yeah.
The vast majority. So, I'm not saying don't be cautious. Of course, be cautious. But if your message to your kid is, I don't trust anyone, even my friend, what in the world is that?
I mean, Wheels is making some really good points. That being said, I do see the side of a parent if... Like the story maybe last year where the dad made everybody a smoothie and the smoothie ended up having drugs in them. And one little girl didn't like her smoothie and she was able to wake up and realize like, oh, this guy is up to no good. If I were a parent and I heard that story, that is going to give me pause before I allow them to sleep at someone else's house. But like I said, Wheels just made a ton of great points. And this does seem like a safer time than ever to let your child go, because you do have the cell phone.
Yes.
Like, honey, if you feel uncomfortable at all, you text me and I will be there
yes.
in 10 minutes. You know, so I see both sides on this one. I really do. I'm really struck by him saying, like, you don't want to raise your kids to be scared of yeah. everything, because that's a really difficult thing to overcome. If you are raised believing everyone is out to get you or against you, that is yeah. really difficult.
And again,
to get
it's
over.
One thing to say, I don't trust strangers.
Yes.
Versus people that I know and people that I've met and your parent, your friend's parents. If you're going to tell every kid your friend's parents are not trustworthy,
yeah.
what kind of message is that?
Yeah.
So let's say, Rach, that instead of your nieces being your nieces, they were your daughters. Mm-hmm. How would you feel about hosting a sleepover from the standpoint of responsibility?
I mean, I would feel fine about it. I've had my nieces over to sleep at my apartment before, and I took it very, very seriously. It's like, we're gonna have fun, but we're also gonna be safe. And like, for instance, like my niece Catherine, I'm not biologically related to her in any way. And she's slept over at my place before. And I always just wanted to be like, I'm never going to put her in a position where she feels uncomfortable in any way, you know? So like having that at top of mind, I don't think that's something that's insurmountable. I think if, you know, struggling to make someone feel comfortable is like difficult for you, then maybe you shouldn't host a sleepover. I would just say I would want to be supervising more than maybe some parents do mm-hmm. because of the bullying thing. Like if it was like, oh, 8 girls are going to be over here, I would not be the type to be like, all right, have fun in the basement. Like, it's right. Like, no, mom's going to come down and see what you're doing like every hour. And I might come down and, if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I might poke my head down there and make sure everything's okay.
Dave, were you guys ever the host?
No.
For those
never.
Things? Really?
No. Oh, no. With Phoebe? Yes.
Yeah, that's what
yes.
I meant. Yeah,
I thought you meant like with Jack and Francis.
No. No, like you and Phoebe.
Yes.
Yeah, same with us. We had, her friends were over all the time and she was over their houses all the time. And, when they're younger, you have to supervise more. I mean, like, but that's true for everything, right? You take your kid to the park. When they're 8, you got to watch them more. When they're 13, you can kind of let them go.
Yeah.
The last sleepover that I remember was when Moses was a puppy.
Oh, boy.
And all the girls were sleeping in the basement and Moses snuck down, ate a whole pizza, pooped on one girl, and threw up on another.
Oh, no.
Good boy.
No, wait, that was Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't go so great.
I mean, it is you cannot say that anything is ever just 100% safe all the time.
No.
Unless you're in the room, right? Yeah. Like, and you know you're not going to do the terrible thing. But that, like, the whole world relies on trust between human beings. And if you want to understand why the world's getting as weird as it's getting, it's this mentality. Nobody trusts the person across the street from them. You don't trust your neighbor. You don't trust your kid's friend's parents. You don't trust your good friends.
Yeah.
If you don't trust people you know, how's this all going to work? Because we're supposed to live together. We have to have some trust.
But I think you're right, Wheels. But like you had also brought up, a lot of times this stuff happens from your most trusted people in
your life.
At
Thanksgiving. At your house,
yeah. And that's why you have to have conversation with your kids that are like, hey, if someone ever makes you feel uncomfortable and they say for you to not tell me, I'm going to be mad, going to be mad. You need to come to me.
In a related thing, when I was a kid, you were always kissing some stinky grandma with too much lipstick. Give me a kiss. And if you said no, it'd be like, you give her a kiss, you little piece of crap.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of that?
If I have children, I'm not going to make them do
no,
that.
No, I'm not a big fan of forced affection either. Like, if the kid's like, yeah, then that's fine. It's okay. It just say, grandma's a kid, He's just being goofy.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. I think adults should be able to be the ones that process it and handle it rather than forcing that responsibility on the kid to be the one that's got to suck it up.
Yeah.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.